thank you. And we can pick it up again in Isaiah chapter number 32. And I'll begin our reading now at verse number 3. And we'll read down to verse number 6. And scripture says, the eyes of those who see will not be dim, and the ears of those who hear, who really hear from God, will listen. Also the heart of the rash or the hasty man, the man that's indifferent to really solid instruction, will understand knowledge, and there will be knowledge given in this salvation, in this recovery by the gospel. And the tongue of the stammerers, those who could not speak for God's glory, will be ready to speak plainly. Verse number 5 and 6. And I want everyone to pay careful attention unto the word of God. The foolish person will no longer be called generous, nor the miser said to be bountiful. It'll be a discernment and understanding, instruction it will be given. For the foolish person will speak foolishness, and his heart will work iniquity to practice ungodliness, to utter error against the Lord, to keep the hungry, that's me and you without the gospel and the Holy Spirit's power, unsatisfied. And he will cause the drink of the thirsty to fail. So what we are talking about this evening is the drink of the thirsty. It will fail. And the foolish person. Now this person that is foolish, he shall not prosper. He will have the elect of God, the true children of God, the children that the Father has chosen that he will save, are going to be delivered out and brought out of the hand of this foolish person. And the drink of the man that is thirsty, it will fail. Is it might be easier to just turn everything off and I get a light and I just preach the gospel. Okay, let's try it again. The foolish person is a person who does not teach the gospel of the Lord Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to have the people of God taken out of his hand, because God is going to save his elect people. And he's going to save us through knowledge. And what our text was saying is that the heart of the rash will understand knowledge. That God is going to give knowledge unto his people for salvation. If you open in the book of Luke in chapter number 1. And I've come here to really instruct and to give knowledge of salvation. What our text says in Luke 1, verse number 77, speaking of John the Baptist, and pastor. After the pastors, once you get done, I'll preach.
You finish.
Of all the people in this building, you, me, the pastors must hear this God first. It is our job and our responsibility to preach salvation and to lead the people of God in the right worship of the everlasting Father. These eternal souls that come into this place must be fed the gospel. If I don't feed them with the gospel, I'm a fool, and the Almighty God is going to take His people out of my hands, and He's going to bring them into the hands of a faithful shepherd, because He's going to open the eyes of His people. He is going to give His people the knowledge of salvation. And that's why He sent John the Baptist into this world, and that's why He gives the foolishness of preaching. It says in Luke 1, in verse number 77, is to give knowledge of salvation. Listen to me. Salvation is not by ignorance. Salvation is not by believing anything I want to believe about Jesus. Salvation is when knowledge comes from God the Holy Spirit through the knowledge of the Scriptures being opened to show us the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a knowledge of salvation. And so why is that? It's so important. It's so vital. I hate these little plastic pulpits.
A good pulpit for preaching.
It's the knowledge of salvation is so important because there's an everlasting hell that God Almighty is going to send people to who don't understand or know His gospel. He's going to burn men and women with an everlasting destruction and everlasting fury. That's why this business of preaching is so important, so vital, that we get it right. Because each of these souls is going to stand for eternal judgment in the sight of a holy God. This knowledge of salvation is important, my brothers, my sisters, because sin has dominion over us by nature. I am, like you, a natural-born captive of sin. I came out of my mother's womb speaking lies. I was a viper from the beginning. Our everlasting course has already, it's been set by God. He has predetermined what's going to happen unto us. And I've got to get the knowledge of salvation if I'm going to escape the wrath that's coming and if I'm going to live in order unto bring glory and honor unto Jesus Christ instead of shame. I need God's gospel gospel, and I must know how he saves sinners, lest I perish, lest I burn in an everlasting hell with sin as my misery, with sin having dominion over me right now. It's not about church happiness, it's about the knowledge of God in salvation, how he saves a sinner. What does that look like? Here's what he says. This knowledge which he shall give us is of the salvation of his people. That's a specific, it's a group of people that he is going to deliver from the hand of the foolish through knowledge, because the person that is foolish, he does not teach and preach our Lord Jesus Christ. He does not preach that the righteousness that I need and that you need to stand before a holy God has been given unto us by faith in Jesus Christ. That his blood he shed on Calvary's tree, it was sufficient to satisfy God Almighty, and so that God can forgive the sins of sinners. He says, it's the knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, the taking away of their sins. And so after I came into Nigeria, I heard the first time I heard the term take away. In the U.S. we call it, it's the doggy bag. If you go eat at a restaurant, you get full, you pack your plate, and you come home, and in a rich country, you give it unto your dog. It's a doggy bag. I eat mine, though. But here it's called a takeaway. If you go, you eat, you're full, you had enough, you take it away into your home. You don't leave it there, you take it with you. But Christ Jesus, he took away our sin, and those of us have believed his gospel, by taking it upon himself on Calvary's cross. And then he took it away, not only from us, but from the sight of God, when he bore the payment at the cross and the penalty, and he was punished in its fullest. But when God gives us this knowledge of salvation by the remission, by the taking away of our sin, he also causes us, me and you, to keep his commandments. It is, in verse number 78, through the tender mercy of our God,
thank you very much,
with which the day spring from on high has visited us. It's to give light. It's unto those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death. Is to guide our feet in the way of peace. This knowledge of salvation by the remission, by the taking away of our sins, causes us to live a holy life. You with me? It's the book of 2 Peter in chapter number 2. If there's no holiness, me and you will never see God in mercy and in salvation. At the day of judgment, it will be all bad. But But from 2 Peter chapter 2, he's really warning us about this foolish person who leaves the soul of his people hungry and thirsty and famished because they do not have the knowledge of God and his salvation, and so their souls are empty and they cannot get unto God and they cannot live unto God's glory, and everything that they have is fake in the spiritual realm. It's fake. It doesn't satisfy. There's nothing in the conscience. It cleanses nothing. There's no access unto God. There's no power inside of the heart to conquer sin. It's a fake salvation. It's phony. It's not real. It's not worth dying for. It's not worth living for. It's not worth nothing. It is non-salvation that's being preached by the foolish person whom God is going to bring his people out of their hands by giving us true knowledge of salvation by the remission of sins that makes us holy and live a holy life. This from 2 Peter in chapter number 2. Verse number 19. This is a foolish person who God is going to bring his people out of their hands. A scripture says, as the while they promise them liberty, they are slaves of corruption. On my Facebook page, are you on there? I'm active on my page. Pastor Ani's on his page. We're active. And so you can add me up on my Facebook page and I'll interact with you over the gospel. I don't want to be talking about a whole bunch of stuff. But the gospel, I will give you my time and attention. But there's a person on there this morning, this afternoon, that's arguing that because of imputed righteousness, which means I'm forgiven of all my sins, that there is no more warfare with sin in my life. Is that true? Is the fact that I'm forgiven of my sin, does that mean I don't have to struggle and fight and war to keep my sin down and subdue and submit it under my feet unless it master me? If it masters me, I'm in trouble. It's while they promise them liberty. Oh, you're forgiven. Oh, the blood is shed. Oh, Christ dead. Oh, everything's great. Oh, hallelujah. Everybody dance. It's just a good time. Party, party, party. Hallelujah. Amen. But look what it says. Here is a foolish man. But they themselves are slaves of corruption. And the love of money, that's a slavery unto corruption. Straight slavery. Of the lust after women.
The slavery.
How many pastors in Nigeria are enslaved by the lust after women? Will chase you down and will hunt you and take your women out of your hands. The pastor promising liberty. A slave is lust, a slave of pornography, a slave of corruption. I don't mean a man who slips and falls and says, Lord, have mercy on me. I mean the man that says, because I'm saved by grace, I can do this and I will not change. That man is promising you liberty. He's promising you freedom. He's promising you a hallelujah, but he himself is a slave of corruption, for by whom a person is overcome. Whoever my master is by him also he is brought into bondage. Let me ask you one question. Who's your master? Who's your daddy? I'm not your daddy. He's not your daddy. He's a man of mortal flesh like me. We do nothing to advance your everlasting soul except teach you what's in the Bible and live by example. I've got no power to give you anything spiritually. Not one thing. And no man does. Not a person on earth. Who's your master? Who's your daddy? Who's your boss? Who do you bow down to? Who do you serve? The Christian has been set free by the forgiveness of sins to love the eternal God Almighty, because his eyes have been opened unto the gospel of the glory, of the grace, of the knowledge of God. And his knowledge of forgiveness is spiritual. It's in his spirit. It's not just in his head. It's in his spirit. It's in his soul. It's in his being. Let's go back into Isaiah, chapter number 32. I want you to hear me as to when I'm talking. And I want you to hear me as I'm preaching. And I want you to understand. And I want you to be converted. And I want you to change. And I want you and me to confront God in the truth of the gospel and obtain mercy, because he freely gives it unto sinners who are in their filthiness and in our sin. He's a saving God through knowledge, but we've got to be saved. In Isaiah chapter number 32, verse number 3 and 4, is the eyes of those who see, who really understand this gospel, who really hear on the preaching, whom the Spirit of God comes and opens their eyes and understanding, they will not be dim. It'll be eyes wide open instead of shut. The ears of those who hear, who truly hear from God in their spirit, they will listen unto the word of God. The sheep hear my voice, and they what? They follow me. Also the heart of the rash, who didn't care what the Bible said. All he wanted was to hear a sermon about money. He came to church not caring about anything to do with the repentance of my sin. He just wanted a blessing in his carnality for his tummy, so that he can go back out and he can live in sin with a clean conscience. That person, when awakened and when touched by God, not by man, I cannot touch you in that place, but by God, starts to speak into the heart through his word. He's calling you out himself through his word of the gospel. Is the sheep hear our shepherd's voice from the Bible? He will understand knowledge. He'll understand this gospel of grace in his heart, and he'll give God glory. And the tongue of the stammerer, who could not praise God — it doesn't mean a person who has a stutter like me. It's talking about a person who could not speak of God's glory, who could not preach Christ because they did not know it — will be ready to speak plainly. Plainly. Verse number 5. The foolish person will no longer be called generous. He's just a liar. Nor the miser said to be bountiful. For the foolish person will speak foolishness. His heart, it will work iniquity. And to practice ungodliness, to utter error against the Lord, and he will cause the drink of the thirsty to fail. There'll be no water in his pitcher. If you open, please, in the book of Luke, chapter number 14. As to what I want to do now, my brothers, my sisters, is to exhort you to abandon the foolish person. If he's got no water of life, if he has no gospel, then leave him alone. Come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord, and I will receive you. And so when I met you the first time, did you mention that it was some hardship of this other church after I put a curse on you if you leave the office of this witchcraft stuff? That's a foolish person. If a person is to leave my ministry and to go worship as with Brother Annie, there's no curse on him. He's preaching the truth. It's the curse if a man actually leaves Jesus Christ, not the pastor. Abandon him. Don't let him trouble your conscience at all. He's a small, small human being. But you listen unto me. Anybody that's not preaching the gospel of God's grace is to be abandoned and forsaken as a non-brother, and he is unto be evangelized as a slave, as an enemy of God, that is in his sin, and he is unto be loved by us with the gospel, but I'm not to sit up under his ministry. I'm not even to partake in his evil deed. As you lay hands suddenly upon the whole man, if a man isn't preaching the gospel of God's grace, I have no business advocating his ministry. It's against God Almighty. It's a foolish person who's giving his people no water, and they're dying of thirst, and they're going to meet God at the judgment. I can't advocate that. But what people say is, it's my dad,
it's my brother, I grew up in this church. It's Nigeria, old. That's just how it is here, old. We keep swapping the mic.
But you're hearing me. People make excuses for not turning away from pastors who are destroying their soul. You're hearing me. I was in a place preaching in a quiet room, and it was a place like this. It had walls and it had a completed roof, but the floor was dirt. And so the pastor was up there, and he's promising the people money, he's promising the people miracles, he's promising them all these things if they just what? If they give him money. That's the way it goes, right? You pay the pastor, and then God blesses you, he says. And so after I had proved that's false, that's the way of Judas. He loved money. When he didn't get money, he sold Christ. He had to have money now. But this woman told me after the preaching, even though what you say is true, I'm going to stick with my pastor because I need hope. I'm poor and I like his stories. See? Did you catch that? How many people are going to not even leave a pastor, even though they know he's not telling you the truth, just because you want money, just because you're poor, just because it's your brother, just because it's your cousin, just because it's the closest church, just because I've always come here, just because it's what everybody else is preaching? No, 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 brother. It is men like me and you, we stand up and we stick our neck out until we die over the gospel. There's no turning back. There is no compromise. There's no bargaining. It's the everlasting souls and men. It's the glory of the blessed God. And look what our master says. It's in Luke chapter number 14, verse number 26. Yes, in case you think I'm harsh. It's in Luke 14, verse number 26. If anyone comes unto me, if our Lord Jesus Christ is talking, and he welcomes sinners, all sinners are bidden to come unto Jesus Christ. You are welcome because the blood he shed is sufficient unto save you, and the power of the Holy Spirit, which he gives us free of charge, is sufficient unto make us holy. But if anyone comes unto me and does not, what's the text say? Hate who? His father? This means that nobody is more important unto me and you than Jesus Christ. Nobody. Not my mother, not my father, not my sister, not my brother, not my children, not my wife, not my own life. I gotta hate me in order to be a real Christian. He cannot be my disciple. What's the master saying? When you come unto Christ and you bow to him and you say, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. When you say, Lord Jesus, if what you're actually saying is everybody else in this world, including myself, does not matter. Their opinion does not matter. What they want does not matter. What they will do to me if I bow unto you does not matter. What happens unto me in this world does not matter. The only thing that matters is your salvation. It's you. Oh, my sister. That person obtains peace every time. That person is forgiven of all of their sin. That person actually knows God in the truth of the gospel. And so one last time is the book of Isaiah, chapter number 32, verse number 5 and 6, and I'm going to wrap up and I'll be done. But I want you to hear me. I hope you're hearing me. I got a strange accent. We got the loud sound of the generator. But I'm talking to you. I'm pleading with you. I'm showing you the grace and the way of God. It's the way of salvation. Let the fool alone. And you leave him be. And you join up with people who are preaching God's grace in truth and in power. That you have an opportunity to come learn the gospel. It's a long drive. If I had to walk, I'd be there. It's worth it. If I'm going to speak for God, I'm going to tell the truth. Or I doubt. This brother, I heard the story. When he first came, at the seminary. And I've been to the seminary. It's a good school. It is teaching the true doctrine. But it must not ordain any men except those who teach the true doctrine. And so this man came, and at the beginning, is he wouldn't attend the church? Is he coming to school? Is he halfway listening? He's not honorable man. But I come back again. He's hearing with joy of the Holy Ghost, and even standing up and preaching in his own way, our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a success story. And that's what I want to happen with you and me. I want us transformed unto Jesus Christ likeness. Because verse number 5 and 6, and I'll be done. The foolish person will no longer be called generous. I'm going to spy him out. I'm going to judge every man by the gospel. I don't care about his personality. I don't care about how he looks. I don't care if he's in my family. I care, is he preaching Jesus Christ and him crucified and giving me the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of sins that makes us live a holy life? I care about the gospel. If the roof is like this and he's preaching the gospel, I'd be here. I don't care about that. I care about his character. I care about his life. I care about his gospel message. That's it. Does he have a gift? If he does, I'll go him. That's from God. But the miser is no longer going to be said he's bountiful. It's the miser is the person that holds back with the gospel and he preaches himself. All the prophets I see in Nigeria, that's what all of them are doing. Each and every time they say, I decree and I declare. And by the power of my word, and if I be the man of God, I say, as preaching himself, as if he is the Almighty God and he speaks and it happens, it's blasphemy. How dare a man with a dirt floor actually speak and say, I declare. What do you declare? It's nonsense and it's blasphemy. It's against God and it's not taught in this Bible. And you must reject it. And if your right eye offends you, pluck it out of your head and cast it from you. If you could decree and declare, but would you be living like this? I wouldn't. If I had power like that, Pastor, it'd be 100 million people saved. Verse number 6. You're hearing it. For the foolish person to speak foolishness. It's in his nature. Not because he's born again. And his heart, it will work iniquity because he rejects the gospel of God's grace. To practice ungodliness in his false religion, in his self-righteous pride, or in his licentiousness. Either way. To utter error against the Lord. That's a foolish person. Because he's fighting against God and he's destroying the souls of men. But look here. To keep hungry. To keep me hungry. That's me and you who don't have the gospel. Unsatisfied. There is no cleansing of the conscience. There is no cure for the thirst within. Of the lust and the appetites of the flesh, which they overpower you. Because there is no gospel to put them down. And the gospel is the power of God that subdues my fleshly lust and my nature and calms me and tames me and turns us into a different person. It's the gospel. It's not in my willpower. I don't have enough of the willpower to change and transform and be meek and gentle and lowly and humble and gracious. I can't do it. But the gospel can. And if you don't let me have that gospel, I'm thirsty, I'm helpless, I'm naked, I'm ashamed, I'm dry, I'm empty. I have nothing to live for on this planet. I have nothing but fear inside my mind. I fear God instead of drawing near unto Him. But through the gospel, I can come and have my soul's need met. But it's all through the gospel. And he, this man, that's a foolish man, he will cause the drink of the thirsty to fail. This foolish man is also myself. If I'm not subdued by the Spirit. So I have no choice. I have to overcome it. And the book of Proverbs says that when you perceive that you're in the presence of a fool, if you go from him, if he doesn't have any wisdom inside of his lips, if you depart from him, and you get yourself a pastor, and you become a faithful man who preaches the gospel, and who lives for it, and who walks upright. This is the way of salvation. Make your choice. And you be wise. You be wise.